on a very important topic. And this is a topic that Daniel had in his life, a very important servant of the Lord. Daniel is one of the most important servants. I like Daniel a lot because Daniel is the one who actually prayed for the whole people of Israel to be saved, and they were. And so what I want to do today is amplify that and show you how his prayer life made a difference, so your prayer life can also make a difference. Amen? You ready to do that? You ready to pray with me today? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just decree and declare, Lord, your love and your blessing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit today to be evident and be powerful, to break every chain over people's lives, Lord. Father, we thank you that as we study Daniel, there is a time and a season for everything, and I pray that your word would be magnified today. I pray that your word would be amplified in every person's heart, that they would make a decision to leave this place and to do what they are called to do. And I thank you, Lord, in agreement, in advance, for what you're doing and helping to have everything done according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. In my late 20s, I became very interested in a topic that I knew very little about. I was very hungry for God in my late 20s, and I wanted to know more about Jesus. I just loved Jesus. When I was a little girl, I heard stories about Jesus and fascinated me, and I just loved Jesus. I never really made that total all-out commitment to him until I was in my teens. But about my late 20s, I began to have this passion, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to know more about him, and I was like, what is this thing I've heard about called fasting? What is that? Does that mean going completely without food? I didn't know what fasting was because I'd never done it before, ever. And so what I'd like to do is show you in Isaiah chapter 58 a little bit about what fasting does and the power and the anointing that is on this thing called fasting and how it can bring you to a point where you're totally free. In Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6, let's put that on the overhead today. It says, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke or every chain." Now, when you fast accompanied with prayer, this is what happens. This is the kind of thing that God says will break every single chain. Every single chain. Not some. Every single chain can be broken. Every one through fasting and prayer. And I assure you, this has worked in my personal life. So I'll tell you the ins and outs of it. I'll tell you the hard stuff that I've gone through. I'll tell you the funny stuff that I've gone through with fasting and prayer. And we'll have a good time this morning. How about that, okay? We'll have a good time. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. This is literally the philosophy or the reason why we need to fast and pray. And this is a little bit about it in 1 Corinthians 9. And Paul was talking about this. He says, "I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." In other words, when he fasts, it's literally like beating your body or buffeting your body. That word buffet means to beat. I buffet or I beat my body into subjection so that I will be a qualified servant of the Lord God. Now, my experiences with subjecting my flesh to this thing called fasting and prayer have been pretty interesting, and I want to share with you a little bit about it. My physical body discipline through fasting, when you do that, I found out the product of that is that when you physically buffet your body and you begin to take it and take it under subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it is a sign of a disciplined spiritual life in every area of your life. You will find that that is true. When you take your physical body and you discipline it through fasting, it is a sign that you can discipline your life in almost every other area. You'll find it very easy to do so. That's why most Christians do not take this topic very seriously, because it is the death warrant of the devil. Seriously, it is his death warrant. And so they don't take it very seriously, because it requires some effort. But when you do take it seriously, it is the death warrant of the devil. Daniel took it very seriously. And I dare for you to be like Daniel. I dare for you to be like Daniel. Okay? As I studied the lives of Christian leaders and heroes, many of them fasted and prayed on a regular basis. Many of them. In fact, but there's a guy called Rhys Howells. He was a Welsh prayer warrior, and he was a mentor in history. And I'd like to read to you a quote that he said. It's out of the book called, Sidney Jacobs wrote it, The Power of Persistent Prayer. And this was absolutely awesome. When I read this about this prayer warrior, I said, my goodness, this man has something that we need to learn from. Here is what he went through as he subjected his flesh to a time of fasting, according to author Norman Grubb. It was a time when he had a great burden for a certain convention, which was being disrupted by assaults of the enemy. The Lord called him to a day of prayer and fasting, which was something very new to him. He used to, as he was, a comfortable home, 4 good meals a day. It came as a shock to realize that it meant no dinner. And he was agitated about it, and would only be agitated even more as he began. It would only happen once. Suppose God asked him to do it every day or every once in a while. When midday came, he was on his knees in his bedroom, but there was no prayer that next hour. I didn't know there was so much lust in me, he said afterwards. My agitation was the proof of the grip that food had on me. If the thing had no power over me, why did I argue about it with God? At 1 o'clock, his mother called him, and he told her he wasn't taking lunch. But she called again, as the mother would, and urged, it won't take you long to have it. Well, the goodly aroma from downstairs was too much for him, and down he came. But after the meal, when he returned to his room, he couldn't get back into the presence of God. He came face to face with disobedience to the Holy Spirit. I felt I was like the man in the Garden of Eden. I went up the mountain and walked miles, cursing the old man within me. He didn't take dinner for many days after that, but spent that hour with God. And as he said later, the moment I got victory in it, it wasn't a very big thing to do. It is while you still want a thing that you can't get your mind off of it. When you have risen above it, he may give it back to you, but then you are out of it. Just remember this. And Laurel, remember to prepare the thing that I had also, if you would do so, okay? This is the solution. Fasting and prayer is the solution for aiding the fight that spiritual leaders have with the sins of the flesh. It is the solution. It really is. There is a direct correlation between the power over temptation, such as sexual sin or lust or greed, and a fasted life. Fasting gives you the power over every temptation that you have. When you can't control the physical appetite, the authority that's gained through this spiritual discipline extends to power over every kind of temptation on earth. Now, that's why it's really not talked about that much, okay? And neither is the gift of tongues and praying in tongues. They're not talked about. But those two things, fasting and the gift of the prayer of tongues, are the two things that destroy the work of the devil. That's why they're not hardly talked about, because the devil sets it up so that it's not something we talk about. It's just something kind of like out there, you know. And many churches kind of avoid it, and they don't do it in the sanctuary. They just limit it to the back closet of life. Well, here at Spirit Life Church, we're no black closet Christian, okay? We're not closet Christians. We're out there. We're doing something. We believe that God's with us. We know that God's word is true. We know that whatever he said in his word, he will perform it. He wants us to obey him in the areas of his word. So the control over our appetite will help us to not be disqualified as a witness. What does the word witness mean? It means a martyr. It means one who's laid down their life for something. So whatever rules over us in the physical realm, more than God's will and more than God's word, has the potential in some measure to keep us from walking in God's highest and best. So how many of you want to decree and declare today something so phenomenal? You want to say, I want God's best for my life. How many of you really want God's best for your life? Then enter into this. Enter into this. And you will see dynamic things begin to happen. You'll see angels at work in your life. You'll see all kinds of things happen that only God could do, because he's the God of wonders. Only God can do certain things in our life. And those are the things that are reserved to the times of prayer and fasting. When you enter into that time of intimacy with God, something good happens. We're going to wait on that in just a few minutes. I'll ask you for it, okay? Thank you, Laurel. So pause. I want you to pause and think about this. You can do this. You can do this. God is going to give you the strength to do this. And this is my encouragement to you. You can make the choice to believe that you are an overcomer and that you can actually do this. Every church in the book of Revelation was challenged by this. And I thought to myself, wow, this is good. He said, to him that overcomes, I will do such and such. So how many of you think it's important to overcome? Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Because you can find a reward from God when you overcome. I believe in rewards. I believe God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I know that to be true in my life. I've seen it active. I've seen it true. He's a rewarder. So, you know, here we go. Most food that we eat out of habit. Really, it is. It is a habit. When you think about it, how many of you walk to the refrigerator and just do this as a habit? You open up, you get the popcorn, you get the apple pie, you get the iced tea, whatever. It's just a habit. You know, we can't eat foods that, why can't we eat foods that will restore our bodies instead of kill them? Daniel did. And Daniel's fast was quite fascinating. It was called the vegetable fast, where he ate only vegetables. And I think it's fascinating that was the first way in which he fasted. He said, I'm going to only eat vegetables, and I'm going to see that my appearance will become better. I personally can testify to that too. There has been times in my personal life where I've eaten only vegetables, and I've seen my skin look healthier. I've seen my brain think better. All those things. It's amazing what happens. Certain kinds of food and beverages are like crutches to us in a moment of stress. You know, we just find the habit of doing it. I'm not downing food by any means, because I sure love food. I mean, I think it's a blessing from the Lord. And I think good food is one of the greatest blessings. But to be a person of excellence, remember this. This is an admonishment from the Lord. Whatever is good, the Lord says in Philippians 4, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, think on these things. And so the strength that I want to share with you right now is this, that you can do it. Think on these things. You can do it. You can go to a new level today. You can say, I don't need that kind of food. I'm going to try the food that's going to make me healthier, that's going to make me look better, that's going to make my mind think more accurate and more sharp, okay? Nothing has the power with Christ. Nothing has the power to control you but the Holy Spirit. That's true. In Christ, nothing has the power to control you. So I want you to say this out loud. Say, nothing has the power to control me but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you have power to control me. Yes, say that. Holy Spirit, you have power to control me. Now, without knowing the rewards of fasting, fasting becomes a work of the flesh. But let me tell you, there are mighty rewards. I'm going to tell you a little secret right now. Sometimes I ask Laurel to bake me something really yummy so that after I finish my fast, I can indulge in something really nice. And it's true, because there's a time and there's seasons for everything. God's not taking away all of the joy of living, but he's asking you to do certain things at certain times of your life so that you can benefit from it, and that your spiritual life can grow, and that you have more authority in the realm of the Holy, in the realm of the Spirit, with the power of God. According to Isaiah 58, fasting is, and this is true, okay? The Bible says it, fasting is a day to afflict the soul. And let me tell you this, on my first times of fasting, it certainly was an affliction. It really was. It was affliction. One day while fasting, I said, okay, yes, God, your word is truly true, okay? My soul is really feeling afflicted. Instead of feeling more spiritual, Lord, you know what's happening to me right now? I'm feeling more unspiritual because all I'm doing is dreaming about food and thinking all about how not to think about food. It's amazing how that happens. But that's true. Of the first times that you begin to do this kind of thing, it's just normal. So don't feel bad about it. It's just normal. It's going to happen. You're going to start dreaming about food. You're going to start thinking about how you're not supposed to be thinking about food. But it's a part of the process. It's a part of learning. And so don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater because you have a bad experience with it. Okay? Just remember, in Matthew chapter 6, let's put that up. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 17, this is what God says about fasting. It's a decree. It literally is something. He doesn't say when you do it. He doesn't say if you do it. He said when you do it. Okay? When you fast, there it is. When you fast, so it is something normal for a Christian. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. In other words, if you're going to walk around and you're going to say, oh, I'm fasting. Oh, I can't eat that. Oh, I'm fasting. And it's just, you know, so that you look spiritual, that you already got your reward. That's it. There's going to be nothing else that happens. But if you make sure you do it in secret. When people come to you, you know, and they say, you know, what's going on? You say, well, I'm changing my diet, or you know, whatever. You know, maybe you're on a fast and you're just eating vegetables. Okay, there are different kinds of fast. You know, maybe it's just a vegetable fast, or maybe you're eliminating sweets, or maybe you're eliminating what they call pleasant food. That's one form of fast Daniel had. He eliminated pleasant food. It was something that he really liked. You know, say you really like steak. Okay, then you can say, Lord, for the next 3 weeks, I'm on a fast. I'm going to eliminate steak. And every time you think about that, you say, no, I want God more. And you put God on the throne of your life instead of steak. Okay? Okay, when people come to me and they haven't received answers for prayer, you know what I will say most importantly? Have you ever fasted and prayed about it? And if they say they have, then I say, then keep fasting and praying about it. Because ultimately, when you fast and pray about it, God will break through. Now look at this in Daniel's life. Let me show you that Daniel had this very evident in Daniel chapter 10. Let's look at Daniel 10, verses 12 through 13. At the time of this angelic visitation, Daniel had been fasting for 3 full weeks. It's a long time. 3 full weeks to fast. He says, then he continued and said, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, and that was his goal in fasting. It wasn't to look nice in front of people. It was to gain understanding and to humble himself before God. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. Let's look at verse 13. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. The devil's very persistent. It's the only thing he has going for him. Okay? Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So he had lived a life of abstinence. Daniel was evidenced In Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 to 3, it's very evident that he did live a life of prayer and fasting because he was used to his vegetable fasts. He was used to denying pleasant food. He was used to denying himself wine, the Bible says, and any kind of pleasant drink. So I dare you to be like Daniel. Stand up and have a fasted life. I dare you because you know what? God says you can do this. This isn't something too difficult for a believer. God says you can do this. This is something evidenced in the life of Daniel. So what's saying that you can't do it? If you look at your life and you say, well, that was Daniel. Well, that was David. Well, that was Joseph. No, I beg to differ with you. Every one of you in this place is as important as Daniel. Every one of you in this place is as important as David. And every single one of you is as important as Joseph. Every single one of you. It's just how you see yourself that's important. You've got to see yourself as being someone that God can use for his glory and say, I'm counted in on this. I know I can do this. I know that I'm valuable. I know that I'm worthy. I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus. I know that I have a purpose and plan. I know that God wants me to do something fantastic in this world to change the existence of this nation, of this church, of Milwaukee. I know that God's called me and I'm going to do it. You've got to see that in your heart. You've got to wake up in the morning and say, I'm more than just a bump on the log. I'm more than just someone that goes to work. I am valuable to God. Have you ever said that in the mirror and looked at yourself and said, I'm valuable to God? You better. Because if you don't, oh, the enemy has something else that he'll tell you. He'll challenge you. He'll try to tell you that you're no good. He'll try to tell you that you're a nobody. Do you know, I've learned this. The blessings of fasting are many. Some youth movements, such as what I've heard called, it's called The Call. Have you ever heard of that? The Call. It's interesting. It's so powerful. This youth movement encourages 40-day fasts where students give away their lunches to another student who might be hungry. And I know someone personally who eats only vegetables, who's eaten only vegetables for 21 days in order to walk in their destiny. And fantastic things have happened because of it. Now, on the same token, I know someone, and I'm going to give you some warnings here. I know someone who fasted 40 days with no food and no water and almost died. And I don't want to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about how to do this wisely so you know how to do it right. Okay, but first let me give you the reasons why fasting is so valuable. As you enter a fasted life, you will begin to see your thoughts begin to change. They will become positive. They will become faith-filled. They will become hopeful. It'll encourage you to be sharp spiritually. You will be able to deal with life's stresses very, very positively. And when something comes to throw you a curveball, you're going to have the ability to rise up. And when crisis comes, you're not going to jump into depression because of it. You'll be able to be aggressively active in overcoming it because you've been fasting. You've been praying. You know, I don't know about you, but I found out that there are other people, even health people, that have decreed certain things. Recently, investigations medically in Europe, the USA, and in Britain have found the quote, they quote this, there is a healing factor, or there is a healing fast that is practiced in medicine. True. It's even in medical books, people in the US, people, certain doctors, have decreed and found out that fasts decree and bring forth health speedily. In fact, Isaiah 58 says that. Your health will spring forth speedily as you fast. That's a benefit of fasting. There's things that I really, really want to help you to understand today, that it's not just denying food. You can't just fast. It needs to be coupled with prayer to be effective. And there's a famous Greek philosopher who said this. His name was Plutarch. He was a famous Greek philosopher. He said, instead of using medicine, I recommend you fast. Mm-hmm. We can decree certain things in our church on 3-day fasts. We can say, and I believe this, I believe that our church is moving into this point where we're going to do this together. And all of you, as you learn more about it, are going to come together in group settings, fasting, praying for new souls, for household salvations, for healing from diseases. As we do this together, we will see dynamic things. Three-day fast. Many churches do it. In fact, some churches even go so far as to go for the whole month of January and they fast and pray. And I believe that our church is going to enter into that, but I've got to get you ready for it. I've got to get you prepared for it so you understand the benefits and you understand how to do it wisely and some of the ways in which it can be done. Some of the other benefits, one of which is in Matthew chapter 17. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 17 up here and see what it says. It's so powerful here. This is one of the other benefits of fasting. It's in Matthew 17, verses 20 to 21. He said, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain," oh, let's back up here. Is there any way that you can back up one verse, Tom? Because I'd like to just read that. I think it's important. Here it says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and said, 'Why couldn't we drive the devil out?'" Okay? They couldn't drive the devil out. And he replied, and that's okay. That's okay, Tom, verse 20. He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move here,' and it'll move, and nothing would be impossible for you." Verse 21. Matthew 17, verse 21. And then let's try 21. This is 22. You don't have it? Okay, then I'll look it up. Matthew, just a second, I'll read it to you. Matthew 17. Okay. "Howbeit," this is an important, very important line right here. It says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove to yonder place,' and it'll remove. It'll be gone. And nothing will be impossible. Howbeit, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." In other words, there are certain things, like Daniel, he had a prince. There was a prince. There was a prince. There was a demon that was trying to stop things from happening. And those things, God says, if you begin to fast and pray, they have to go, just like Daniel. Just like Daniel, it happened. God said, there are certain spirits that are very stubborn. And so what you've got to remember is this, that as you fast and pray for household salvations, for your healing in your body, for deliverance in any area, God will decree certain things in the atmosphere. The atmosphere will be charged with angels to do the work of the Lord and the bidding of God. And angelic spirits will be sent to war against the principalities and powers. Like Michael, the warring angel began to war against the prince that was stopping the prayers of Daniel. So too will that happen for you. Faith will arise. Very important. It's very, very important that we understand how important fasting and prayer is. Many people, they don't do it. And so you have limited prayers answered. There's another benefit from prayer and fasting is healing comes. When you're faced with calamity, economic crisis, or natural calamities that come, those will be subsided as you pray and fast. Another thing in Acts chapter 13, I love this scripture. Can you put this one up, Tom? Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. "You'll be able to hear the voice of God." Wow. It will clearly come to you. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Maniam, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And look at this. It says this, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting." So they were fasting and they were worshiping and praying to God. "The Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" And verse 3, "So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." So in order to hear the voice of God, there are decrees that God wants us to do for fasting and prayer. In order to have provision for the poor, God also says in Isaiah 58, verse 7, this is one thing that we can do. So many of us say, well, I don't have enough money to give. I don't have enough money to give to this work or this charitable donation. God gives you a solution. Cut back your food intake in certain areas. Take that little amount that you have and give it to the poor people. Isaiah 58 says that. If you want money for an offering, there are practical ways that you can do this. Is it not to share your food? The Lord says fasting is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? So if you need some money, just say, I don't need hamburger hot dogs. I don't need fast food for a little while. I'm going to go and find my little baked beans, open the can of baked beans, and eat that, and save my money, and I'm going to give it in the offering. Very simple way of being able to give yourself out of debt. Give yourself out of problems. Because everybody knows that when you give, you will receive. The Lord is not a man that he should lie. When you give, you shall receive. And then there's another kind of fasting that I'm very dedicated to, and I believe that we as a church need to do even more often. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 15, we need to dedicate to fasting for a national awakening. I'm going to read you this. This is powerful. This is a very powerful thing from Abraham Lincoln, a quote from Abraham Lincoln. How many of you knew that he was a man of great faith? Oh my goodness, was he a man of faith. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Lincoln, but you got to see that movie. How much hell he went through in that time of his life. You've got to read about him because he is amazing. In page 89 of this book, you'll see the glory of the Lord here. I just want you to hear this because this is going to be something that curls your hair here, honey. Okay? Get this. A number of United States presidents have understood their role as national leaders to be involved in fasting and prayer on behalf of the nation. They recognize the need to seek the mercies of the living God. One president was Abraham Lincoln, who issued the following proclamation requested by the Senate during the Civil War. Whereas the Senate of the United States devoutly recognizes the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God, in all the affairs of men and of nations, has by a resolution requested the president to designate and set apart a day for national prayer and fasting. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that the genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. All this being done in sincerity and truth, let us then rest humbly in the hope authorized by the divine teachings that the united cry of the nation will be heard on high and answered with blessings, no less than the pardon of our national sins and restoration of our now divided and suffering country to its former happy condition of unity and peace. That is the cry of President Abraham Lincoln, and that's what happened. Historically, other United States leaders have understood the need to personally fast and pray. George Washington fasted when called upon to do so by the House of Burgesses in Virginia. His personal diary reads, went to church and fasted all day, June the 1st, 1774. The Lord is longing to find these kind of godly leaders. Are you one of those? Are you ready to do what God asks you to do with your personal life? My prayer is that we as a church would fast and pray. We as a church would be a prophetic people. We are truly a prophetic church. a church that God says is going to pioneer a lot of things. But in order to do that, we have got to be dedicated to fasting and prayer, individually and corporately. Now, let me tell you this. Fasting wisely is very important, and healthily. Before embarking on a fast, it's important to use wisdom and caution. For instance, expectant mothers, please don't fast. Okay, you've got to take care of your baby. Other people with various medical conditions, please consult physicians before you do anything and make any kind of decisions about things. Talk to your doctor. When I fast, let me tell you this. When I fast, primarily I fast sometimes for long periods of time, sometimes for short periods of time. Sometimes I fast on vegetable fasts. Sometimes I go on, total fasts. But you know what I have done primarily? When I go on short fasts or even long fasts, because of my health and because I have to have a lot of energy, I will simply take a very simple mix of protein in my water, and I'll have protein drink, because that will continually help bring health to my body. It was advised by my physician that I not go without protein, because protein is extremely important to your brain for thinking. And so if you go on a little longer fast, make sure that you add to that some protein. I'm not saying that you can't go for, without it. Some people may do that. But my fasts are primarily kinds where I eliminate any desirable foods. Any kind of foods that I long for, any kind of foods that just turn me on, okay? Like Laurel's Bakery. I say, nope, I'm not going on that. I'm not doing that. I personally use these protein drinks when I fast in order to assure a strong amount of nutrition. I build up my fasting experiences. When I was really young, I started with just one meal, and then I built it up. Like I would just take a lunch, or I would just take a dinner meal, or I would just take one day. And then as things progressed, I could build up to 3, 4, or 5 days without certain things. Now, my favorite fasts, personally, are the vegetable fasts, because not only is that good for you, but it's good for your body, okay? It strengthens your body. It causes your body to be, really, really healthy. Look at what happened with Daniel. His countenance was more beautiful than all the other men and that were with him. They were more beautiful in their appearance. And so Daniel lived an extremely abstinent and self-disciplined life. When Daniel was taken captive, he refused to eat the king's delicacies and drink royal wine. This self-discipline prepared him for the long fast that he had to do later on. And in Daniel 9:3, I wrote down, we see where Daniel fasted and mourned in intercession for the sins of his people, because he had to wait for literally 70 years until his people would be free from captivity. During those 70 years, he fasted and he prayed and he made sure that God was on the throne, that God was evident in his life. He literally prayed and he said, Lord, I ask you to forgive the sins of my people, to give us a place of preeminence again, set us free from our captivity, O Lord. And he would pray that. This brought spiritual breakthroughs of wisdom and understanding, and he was literally able to discern things and know visions and dreams. He was very prophetic. He could see things and discern things that most people were not able to know because he was fasting and praying. How many of you would like to know things? I mean, just know things that you couldn't know unless you had God's help. This is the way. This is the way to tune. It's like a tune-up for your spiritual life. And you want to do this. Now, like I said, there's all kinds of fastings. You can decree a fast, but I would highly advise that you do it in the area of the things that mean the most to you, which is usually food. I'll laugh at that. Because isn't it true? We like food. I mean, how many of you love coconut cream pie? How many of you love Laurel's Baking? How many of you love that? But my little secret is this. If I go on a time of fasting, Laurel, maybe you could do this for me now. Okay, if I go on a time of fasting, the reason why I called this message fasting brings feasting is because not only will you be able to enjoy later on some delicacies, but not only that, things just taste better after you've fasted for a while. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, when Laurel, after, this is why I called it fasting. Hey, look at this. Doesn't this look good? Fasting brings feasting, okay? I mean, this cake looks awesome, doesn't it? It looks awesome, okay? But how many of you know this? For the past 3 days, I've been eating only things that I probably don't like that much, which is a lot of vegetables. Okay? So, in other words, this doesn't even look that good to me anymore. You know why? Because I've tasted of the things of the Lord. I've heard His voice. I've heard Him guide me. I've heard Him give me power and authority. I've seen Him move some mountains. And, you know, and so after I'm done with my fast, okay, after I'm done with my fast today, which I'm still on, by the way, the final word that I speak, I'm going to take a bite of this. But I want you to understand that's a vision. That's something that you look forward to. But the time that you have, it builds self-control in you. It builds self-control. You see, self-control is probably the thing that most Christians are the worst at, more than any other fruit of the Spirit. That's the reason why most people pop in and out of churches. You know, it's like, well, I like this church, and the next thing you know, they're down the road, and they're having this church, and they go to this church. It's because, you know, it's like whatever is the flavor of the moment, I'm going to enjoy it. Okay? It's like they don't want to get committed. You know, they want to roll up their sleeves and say, I'm going to make this church work, you know, because I'm going to enter into some divine relationships with people that are going to be hard sometimes, but they're going to be committed. Okay? They're going to be committed. And I'm going to make some decisions of my relationships. That's why 50% of most Christian marriages end in divorce. Why? Because self-control is not evident in Christians' lives. That's what I'm here to help you with. I'm here to help you to make some decisions that you can control yourself. And you can. Every one of you can control yourself. You don't have to lust after that. You don't have to lust after whatever, that hot little chick walking down the road with her cute little hairdo. You don't have to lust. You won't when you begin to fast and pray. Because you'll get that victory over the flesh. And you'll say, yeah, I went 3 days without food. I don't have to have that thing walking down the road. Yeah, I don't need that. Because you're stronger, because you've overcome. The word of the Lord says, Anna was a prophetess in the house of the Lord. It says she spent her days and nights fasting and praying, it says. And she had such discernment. She recognized when the Lord's Christ walked in the door that day and said, that's Jesus. She heard that cry, whoa! And she said, that's the Lord's Christ. Because she had discernment. She knew that that was the Lord. That was the King that was going to be ruler over all the world. Hallelujah. You want that kind of discernment? This is the key. This is how you do it. First of all, let me give you some practicals. Begin to curtail your eating. Right now, simpler foods, smaller amounts of food. That's the first way to start. You know, some people get into this and they go, oh, I'm going to do this. And it becomes so difficult because they've never done the preliminaries. Okay? Start by eating littler amounts of meals. Okay? That's a good way to start. Cut back on your liquids, especially your coffee, your tea, or your soda. Why? Because those things are going to give you headaches if you withdraw from them too quickly. So start cutting back on those on that coffee, on the tea, and the soda, and just wean yourself a little bit less from that right before you want to do a fast. Because otherwise, I've had problems with that. I've had problems when I would have too much soda. I had too much Pepsi or something. And so you get a headache, a bad headache, when you start to fast and pray, because your body is used to that. It's like it's pretty much addicted, okay? Unfortunately, that's not the way most Christians are addicted, but we don't have to be, amen? We don't have to be addicted. We can be addicted to Jesus. We can want his love and his power so much in our life that Jesus becomes the preeminence. Jesus and his presence becomes more powerful to us. That's what fasting and praying does. It magnifies the presence of God in your life. He becomes bigger to you. He becomes more beautiful to you than anything else. And that's the truth. And you really want that. Times where the word of God says, oh, Jesus, I want to please you so much. And then you put yourself into reading the word and just saturating yourself with worship tapes. These things consume you then. And literally, I have to say this honestly, I am addicted to Jesus. Amen. I am addicted to Jesus. I could not go one day without his presence. I am so addicted to him. Okay? To seek the Lord. This is another helpful tidbit of moving into the direction of living a fasted and a prayerful life. Seek the Lord by placing a list of the things that you want to see happen in your fasting. These are called goals. And you want those. You want to see something happen for what you've done. Okay? You want to see the fruit of it. And literally, God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He is. He said he is. And so you can trust that. You write down the goals. I'm believing that I'll have more wisdom. I'm believing that I'll have more discernment. I'm believing that my children will be changed, that their behavior will be different. I'm believing that my husband, my wife, will just, you know, will be getting along well. You know, I'm believing for my household to be saved or my families to be born again. I'm believing for the church to become stronger spiritually. I'm believing for souls to be saved. Whatever it is, determine and write down God's promises to you. Write them down, okay? Write down God's promises to you. The one thing that I'm believing for in my times of fasting and praying, the Bible says this. I love this promise that the Lord says, when you lay down family, friends, anything that's not of the Lord, when you put that aside to begin to honor God, the Lord says that he will give you 100-fold houses, lands, mothers, brothers, sisters, children, 100-fold. I'm standing on that promise. 100-fold, Lord. 100-fold blessing for everything that I've had to deny. Everything that I've had to deny. And you know what? Begin to determine what kind of fast that you want to pursue to in this time. You know, are you going to go on a partial fast, a vegetable fast, a full fast with just water and juice? Are you going to just deny yourself sweets for 3 weeks? I'm telling you, for some, that's a big fast. That's a big fast, okay? But deny yourself some things. To say, you know, Jesus, you're more important to me than this. That's what a fast says to the Lord. You're more important to me, Lord, than this thing, okay? Begin to put your mind on the things that you desire. And I will add this. Don't fast for selfish purposes. This is not so, you know, that, you know, you can get what you want, that you're going to have this big, you know, debate with your wife, you know, I'm going to fast, you know, and I'm going to fast about this because, you know, you're a jerk, you know, and I just want you to see you're a jerk, you know, you're just jerky, you know, and after this fast, you're going to see what a jerk you are, you know, what's that, you know, the Lord says, Isaiah 58, don't fast because over debate of something, okay? Now, you can fast that God would give someone the spirit of wisdom and revelation of Jesus. That's perfect, and God wants that. So fast so that your life will be consumed with the good thoughts that the Lord has. Philippians 4, verse 8. I love this scripture. Let's put this forward, okay? The Bible says this, Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, whatever is good, whatever is true, noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, then think about those things. So whatever is evil, God says, you don't have to meditate on it. And during the fast, you will find this. As you fast and pray and fill your mind with the word of the Lord during your fast and prayer, fill your mind with the word of the Lord, with everything that he has to say, you will find these thoughts that surface to your mind that are good, thoughts that are good, like you may want to quit something. Oh, you may want to give up on that job or whatever. You start praying and fasting about it, you're going to start hearing the Lord say, don't give up. 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 Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. You're going to see good things. Stay faithful. Whatever you need from God, depend on the power that is in the name of Jesus and this new covenant of grace that he has. Let me assure you that most Christians still live in the old covenant. And I'm trying to get you right now to see that we don't live in the old covenant any longer. We live in the new covenant. The Bible says there's better promises for us. Woo! Oh, there's better promises for us. There's mighty things prepared for those that are living in the new covenant, the new testament of his blood. Okay? We don't want to live in the old covenant any longer. We don't want to. We learn from the Old Testament. Yes, we see the Old Testament as being types and shadows and symbolic of things to come. But we live in this new covenant. This is a covenant of grace where there's better promises, Hebrews says, and better covenant. So how many of you believe that as you begin to fast and pray, you're going to see that your table will be turned and you're going to begin to see these things that are true, these things that are good, pure, and lovely come to pass? It is the truth. God said it. This is God said it. This is not Lori that says this. This is God saying it. God says in Isaiah 58, and I'm going to read the whole thing to you now in closing. And then I want you to dedicate this week to doing something and saying, you know what? I think I'm going to try this. I may have never done it. You may have never done it before. But look at the promises that the Lord says. He says, wherefore have we fasted? The Bible says in 58 of Isaiah, we have fasted. It says, and we have been afflicting our soul. And the Bible says, but you know what? You haven't seen much fruit because you've been fasting for strife and debate. And what does that mean? Exactly what I said before. You've been fasting for someone to have something bad happen to them. Yeah. And that's what they were doing. It says, you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is this a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? It is to bow down his head, it says, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that you shall bring those that are poor, you shall give them food. When you see the naked, you'll cover them. Then it says, when you fast like this, in this kind of a way, to unloose the heavy burdens off of people, then your light shall break forth as the morning. Your health shall bring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear reward. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of you, as Pastor Tom said, any judgment, isn't that good? Any judgment, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of vanity, the being angry with people, being unforgiving. If you draw your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, it says, the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. He will make fat your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden. And it shall be that of thee you shall build the old waste places. I love that. God says these are the promises. And this is what the promise is for our local church. You see this area of Milwaukee? This area of Milwaukee was laid waste. It went through an economic decline. And God's saying that this is a church planted here to raise up the old waste places, it says. You will be raising up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. God has called us to restore the paths of people here, to make these streets look better, to cause people to come into this sanctuary and say, look what the Lord has done. So what I want you to do right now is to bow your heads and hearts, because what I'm going to do right now is open up the altar for a series of ministry, a moment of time where we just cry out to God like Daniel and say, Lord, bring your angels. Bring your angels into my life. Let your angels be released to bring good things. And I want you to decree this week that you will spend a time in fasting and in prayer and in the Word to believe for mighty things. And we're going to seat ourselves right now with the angels of the Lord, because they're in this house. The angels of breakthrough are here. There's angels of breakthrough here. They'll be assigned to you. So I invite you right now to position yourself in a place with God of intimacy. And just let the Lord do something in your heart so that you will dedicate to be a person like Daniel. A person like Daniel. Dare to be like Daniel.